some the applicant here.
Really, this today's action is really consistency with the master plan.
Right.
That's, it's limited to really that. They're going to come back to you with a site plan for this property.
Yeah.
And if the dollar store wants to pursue a redevelopment plan, they would come back to you in the same.
The controls would be in place for the Dollar General to do something that's also consistent with the redevelopment.
So does Dollar General own the property, or does a developer own it, leases it to Dollar General?
Correct.
So, yeah. Okay.
But just like any development plan, that's really immaterial, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have, and I'm not arguing. I'm just saying it because yes, it is awkward, but it's no more awkward than every row house in Philadelphia where somebody chooses to improve and someone chooses not to improve. Absolutely. Those people that own that property are subject to the same rules of engagement that these are. This particular property is just taking it. I think they're taking these steps aesthetically and functionally for it. Just so happens they share a wall with another property. It doesn't, but it just like your neighbors own and you share a fence. You can't tell them how to paint their house.
Right. But I think what this redevelopment plan does, it gives the Dollar General site some flexibility as to what they could potentially do with their property. It gives them a lot more options.
It reminds me of that town.
See it up down as a
whole. Where one's rated, yeah, and it's still down.
What I think might be helpful is in reviewing the master plans, and we went back and we looked at the plans going back to 2006. And I think everyone knows this, but it's interesting as you read the history. This area is a very difficult area to develop.
Yeah.
And to beautify. And to enhance. And so you have to provide some flexibility. You have to provide some additional incentives, which this redevelopment plan does. And actually, the city has been pretty successful in the last few years in redeveloping this area through those types of incentives. But the master plan really points out, going back 20 years ago, that this is the one area of the city that is stagnant.
Yeah.
It really, you know, there's really a need to create.
By my way of thinking, you're going to improve landscaping as well. So if you look at the Sacco Subs, where there was a building that is now being developed to mirror the old building that was there and already redeveloped, it's actually laying out a groundwork, saying, listen, you got to for one thing, be compliant with the flood zone. That your property is going to be useless if it doesn't, and here you're giving an example of what it could be in the future. So it's kind of poking that developer and saying, this is what it this is the best use for that area.
Let me put things in perspective. My first meeting on the planning, on the zoning board, was in October of 1980. We were here till 2:30 in the morning. I was 33 years old. I'm 76 right now. That was...
You can go home now.
A hearing.
Been here ever since.
Been ever since. That hearing, before that, it was a Chevrolet dealer. Gold Nugget bought it, and they were making that into a bus fueling, had a bus fueling, and it was for an employee shuttle.
Hmm.
That was in October of 1980. Tuxedo Gambling came in 1976. There were car dealers there. Since then, those buildings have gone through years of vacancy, not use, overuse, whatever the case has been. The building next to it has been there forever. Somehow, Dollar General came in. Another group that came in was going to buy the whole shopping center and everything and redo it. They went bankrupt. And that was about 2008. Until now, there has been no real movement on any of those properties in that zone until Greg came in and is doing the Ventnor Plaza over again, which we did an overlay on. And now this property. The original proposal they were trying to do was a 65-foot high building of condominiums in there with commercial on the lower level and around it, which was all they could get. And they could never do it because they could never get the state approvals for it. And they all went bankrupt. And that's the story. Now we're here today. That was in 2008 or so, like that. And we're here. And Jim's assessment is correct. It's been a nightmare to develop those properties in here. And that is the history of those sites through the guy who lived through it. But my first meeting was here, sitting at this table, until 2:30 in the morning, until that was approved.
And things will be here till 2:30.
No, we're not going to be here 2:30. So, but that was it. It was October 1980. And so that gives you a profile of what's happened. So I'm done.
Thank you for that history.
Well, Jay, can I ask you a question?
Please.
What happened with the mixed use? It just will not happen because of the state?
No, what happened with the mixed use is that they figured out that they couldn't do it financially. At the same time, the economy went to hell. And so they just decided that A, it was a bad idea. And two, we lost the property because we couldn't hold on to anything we tried to do. It took from then till now to get this thing to where we're finally here. It took that long. Almost not quite 20 years. So I don't have any more 20 years left. So let's get it done.
I had a question too about the boat storage. And I realize, I mean, we're still not dealing with the, basically we have to think about where we're dealing with, but what had you envisioned in terms of boat storage? Is that going to be the giant racks that go all the way up the walls of boats that, I mean, I think over time they start to kind of.
Yeah, we were looking up just the surface.
Okay. Okay, that's what I wasn't sure if it was multi-level, the boats stacked up, and then they tend to, over time, start to.
So everyone knows in our master plan, when we did the master plan last time, we put a financial component in the master plan. And I think this also falls in with that financial component, if I'm not mistaken, Jim. There is a component within the master plan that we look at and foster things that will generate income to the city and to the people around us and so on, and to the merchants. That is a consideration that for the first time was put in the master plan that we approved 7 years ago. That was the first and only time. That was the first time it ever appeared. And I think we're one of the few cities that have it as well.
Well, clearly, given everything that we've talked about in reviewing master plans as well as the past zoning, we found that this project is consistent
right
with the master plan. It's a design commercial district to begin with. Obviously, there needs to be flexibility to develop this area. We've learned that through the history. And we would suggest that you find this to be consistent with the master plan.
I think there's a need for it. From what I can tell, there's a need for it. And the way they have it, because we have all these condos. Let's put it this way. We have so many condominiums on the beach. We have everything. What stuff was approved, and they were designed in the 60s and approved. The last condominium approved in this city was built in 1972. And we haven't had a new one built because you can't get them approved anymore. Now, there's over 1,000 units. They have no storage space. We have all kinds of duplexes. We have all kinds of other things with no storage space. People are going offshore. They want space. This is phenomenal for the people. And the other thing I asked Jim about is there's a couple things. Is one, if within our zoning, it's not here tonight, but we've been talking about art spaces for artisans, small little workshops, that little section, they could come in and work because they don't have spaces in their home, like the co-working space. And we've been looking for a place. Originally, it was Little Rock Avenue, right near your shop. Which was, if you remember, Little Rock Avenue was going to be a walking path from Atlantic to the Bay. And that was in the 1968 and 72 zone master plan. It never worked out. So we don't have a place for people to, if they're into these things, to work or do things like that. They need a small cubicle. And that's a question there if it's providable. I think some spaces I've seen like this, particularly if you're climate controlled, can do that. And in condominiums around the country, other places, they have a little small workshop in some cases that owners, because they don't have any tools at home, they can then do hot projects in a little space within a shop that has some tools there and everything else. And they rent that, they pay a fee and rent that space. That's done in condominiums all up and down the East Coast, large buildings. There's not one in this city. So there are just two ideas. That I've said, You see if the if it comes in, if people are, want to, but those things do occur in these facilities. So that's all I got to say.
With the size of the units, how many units and what are the sizes?
Yeah, the sizes will range from 5x5s up till 10x30s. We haven't finalized the unit mix just yet, but it could range, Fat, I guess on this one, could be 500, 600, 700. We haven't finalized the unit mix just yet.
The building is within CAFRA's design and specs. I mean, it doesn't, as far as I know, it meets everything. So, I'm for it. I think it's a great, I think it's a solution.
You want to see the architect?
Just leave that picture.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. North Jersey, there's a few, there's, right, there's, you see them on the highway. They're, it is different. It's kind of camouflaging the use somewhat.
This is a gateway city. You designed this for a gateway. That's the design. The landscape, it would be kidding, but you did this. That's a good gateway. That's a good thing for the gateway.
Yeah, and it'll be further refined in the site plan process. So
we know that. You won't get by this without it. So
yes,
and that's
yeah, especially
it.
If there's a way to kind of maybe even to reduce that front yard setback to kind of hide maybe a little bit more the. I don't know what you guys think, but
well, what's the
set that out so that it extends past the Dollar General?
Okay, so
reduce the setback. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That'll be in the site plan.
Yeah,
that will do.
Something to look consider. It's just kind of how the two buildings are going to tie together and how it's going to, because you are going to see it coming forth of Wellington.
Yeah. We'll do that in the site plan. And
yeah,
because that was a consideration in Ventnor Plaza as far as making the buffer area and the landscaping and how we handle that and so on. So, Jessica, you're right on target on that. So, glad you picked it up. So, does anybody have any further comments? I'm tired of talking.
One last question. This is the last question I'm asking. Is this your first time presenting? All right. So, you know, like in baseball, they always remember the first time they got a hit. So just remember Ventnor favorably when you down the line. Okay.
It's going to be in their memorabilia case.
Jim, yeah. The board, can you give the coach there, give the board
all sign the backup plan?
What do you think this conforms to the master plan?
This does. Yeah, it clearly conforms to the master plan.
I mean, anything in reason, they have the financial side. What else should the board know about this plan that conforms?
So, I mean, the master plan, as I mentioned earlier, obviously this area is designated as design commercial. Master plan discusses the in detail the difficulty in developing this area and, you know, the need for flexibility when encouraging development here, because it is it's a challenged area. We talked about the FEMA requirements. We talked about, you know, the area is isolated. You know, so there are certainly some real challenges here, which lends itself to being redeveloped in this fashion.
In your opinion, this meets and exceeds
in my opinion, it's consistent plan. With the master plan. Yes.
Thank you.
Which is our charge today.
And a question about the other concept plans. There were multiple concept plans in the report.
They were just the plans that were shown here.
There were with the multi-use and the retail space.
There were multiple drafts over the years, so the concept has been revised.
This is the only concept that occurred.
No, there's other concepts in the actual plan. But as far as how the owner is going to proceed if the plan is adopted, this is where we're at. But like with the Dollar General site, if that's subject to the plan, there's several options and ways it can be developed.
I have to do one additional thing here. I have to open up to the public.
Yes.
Thank you.
At this time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment? I think that photo waved his hand, winked his eye. No, I don't think. No, we don't have anybody here. I'm sorry. No, the public portion is closed since nobody is here. You may proceed with anything final. Are you complete?
Yes, we're complete. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. You're welcome. Jim, do you have anything further to add?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Board members, any questions? Leo.
Sure.
Proceed with what we have to do and how we have to.
All right. Just briefly. So just so everyone understands, in 2018, the city, after hearing from us, our recommendation declared this property, the Dollar General property, and the Ventnor Plaza, the shopping center, all at one time, an area in need of redevelopment. So that similar to what they'll likely do shortly with the previous matter we just heard. So once that's declared an area in redevelopment, gets whatever state certifications it needs, then you can proceed to adopt redevelopment plans. The city introduces those by ordinance. They did that with the Ventnor Plaza. That came to us. Our job was to review it for consistency with the master plan. It goes back to them on second reading, and then it gets introduced, comes to us, and adopted on second reading. Now we have a redevelopment plan that covers this property and the Dollar General property. The city, in their October meeting, maybe it was their November meeting, introduced it on first reading by ordinance, and the redevelopment law says it now has to come to us to review it and make it a recommendation and a determination that's consistent with our master plan. And there is a resolution before you, number 50. It's our consistent report under the local housing and redevelopment law that makes that determination that this redevelopment plan is consistent with the master plan. If there's a motion and a second and an approval, we'll send it back to the city clerk, and then presumably next week they'll adopt this plan by ordinance.
So
it does include Dollar General.
It does. There's various zoning controls, so the Dollar, that gives them a lot of flexibility as to what they can do on their property as well. It didn't single out this particular property.
This is not a site plan review.
So what we need is a motion and a second to adopt resolution 50-2023.
Okay. It'll be a roll call or a.
I think all in favor is sufficient.
All it will do. All those in favor, say aye. Aye. Those opposed? Ayes have it. It is hereby adopted. And thank you. And now, as Louise has said, please remember this now. Your first positive vote in here.
It's for paperwork by the time we're at site plans, so you can get another home run.
By the way, have Mike autograph your license. Have him autograph the back of your license. So, thank you for appearing this night. Board members, Jim, do you have anything that's got
no,
thank you. Thank you for doing. Thank you for everything. And that's it. So we'll get to see you again.
Sure.
You'll be working on the master plan with us too. So that
when they come back for site plans.
Okay. Now, is there any other business before the board? We have a motion for adjournment, please.
I make a motion.
All those in favor?
All right.
We are hereby adjourned.
We were here till 2 o'clock.
And by the way, it's nice to see everybody's shining faces.